The month of June is here, and we commemorate the 51st anniversary of the Stonewall Riots.
And although it's a bit different this year, we still remain out, loud, proud. Happy Pride!
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish. Hannibal Lecter showed up to the studio. Hello, everyone. Happy Pride. We're all here. Queer. Out. Proud. She's a gay man in a woman's body. So
I am a gay man.
We're not all here.
Well, except for Chris. Chris is working. He couldn't make it. But we are here. And welcome to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and as always, I'm here with my amazing co-host, this time in studio, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
hi, it's Elsie.
And welcome you all to The Dish! Yes! We can actually say, no delay. No craziness. I couldn't deal with this whole virtual thing anymore. It was just driving me bananas. Last week's episode was horrendous. So I apologize in advance.
It was so bad.
At one point, we're going to have to do a check if we're not going to be here next week, the following week. So in the middle of the whole thing, my computer goes, there's an update that you need in order to use this app. I logged in about 30 minutes ago. Now you're telling me. So in one of the times that I rebooted, then he's asking me to do it. And that's when I was like, you know what? Forget it. I'm over it.
Yeah, I was just like, poor Elsie. And she was like in the phone in the background.
What was so funny was you were just like, all right, well, bye, Elsie. We'll see you next week.
I know.
And he started the show and I was like, oh, shit. And Elsie's face was like, what?
It's like, you know.
And Chris could hear me.
And no one else. So the thing was, you know, this is a live show. We go live, and once we hit go, it's like, we're not stopping, right? Like, we can't just like, oh, let's stop and re-record and do the whole thing all over again. It's just, we just have to keep going.
I know.
And so, but we got through it, and we missed Elsie, but she is here today. And of course, Nick, and we are in studio, and we are, look, there's disinfecting, what is this, hand sanitizer?
We may have some of that.
I went ahead and disinfected all of the work surfaces here in the studio, the microphones.
That's like Luby.
Yeah.
It is Luby. That's exactly what I thought.
And so, you know, just trying to be safe. And we've all been quarantined in our homes.
Yes.
Trying to, you know, just get through this pandemic. And here we are. And so I want to welcome you both back into the studio. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks from now, Chris will join us.
I want to mention, last week we said Dr. G was joining us today.
Yeah.
He's actually not going to be joining us today. He had a family matter he had to deal with. Mm-hmm. Everything's fine, so no need to worry.
All is well in the land of Oz.
Yep. But because we're having kind of like a little bit of a crazy month, we're not going to be here next week. We can talk about that later. And then we have the rest of the month booked. He won't be joining us this month, but he will be sending in an audio clip to share with everybody, just wishing everybody a happy Pride and hope that, you know, everybody stays healthy and safe, given both the social and health climate of the United States right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a crazy, chaotic past 3 months when it comes to COVID-19 and how things have developed. But, you know, we're here and we're trying to, you know, navigate through it. And Elsie and I have been working from, all three of us actually have been working from home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just, you do what you need to do. It is what it is. And all you can do is just push forward. Yep. At this point. So I wanted to mention, yeah, we're not going to be here next week. I figured we could probably talk about that now, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
So why don't you tell everyone what you've been working on? Very hard, I must say. And why are we not recording an episode next week?
So, as you know, I actually don't know if I had mentioned this, our annual gala at the theater, which raises about 20% of the income that we need for... Oh, sorry. Raises 20% of the contributed income that we need, so half of our budget. We can't have it live. We can't be connecting in person, but we still need to. we still need to, you know, support the theater, but mainly the goal right now is to spread joy and connection in our communities. So we have shifted our gala from an in-person gala to a virtual gala. And in this process, I was also deemed the special events manager. So it kind of fell on me, and I have a team of three other people that have been working really, really hard with me. I actually was running late today because I saw the second rough cut of what will be the virtual gala. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, it's going to set the bar for galas across the country. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be amazing. But we really pivoted. We really shifted. And we brought in a bunch of talent, both local and Broadway stars, to really give you a really special and invigorating, joyful concert. So we're really excited about it, but it's a lot of work. And I have been having stress dreams because we've never done this before. I don't know what this means. There are a lot of moving parts, but we're really, really excited. And I mean, when we saw the first rough cut, we were, you know, at the theater filming last Friday, and we filmed on Thursday as well. And we all came in on Friday exhausted from filming.
Seriously.
And it was, you know, our videographer came in, who is amazing, by the way, and I'll ask him if I can plug him next time we have the show, because he's truly phenomenal. He came in and showed us a 20-minute rough cut of all the footage he got the day before. And when I tell you that the room lit up again, that was re-energized, like, it was like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. And it's so poignant. But it'd be remiss for me not to mention the fact that, like, everything that's going on right now with the riots and Black Lives Matter, you know, we are also now again pivoting, because we, as much as our messaging is inclusivity and diversity and you belong and everybody's invited to the space, we have to in some way acknowledge what has happened and what is still happening around this nation, actually internationally, really. Yeah. In response to everything that's going on. And so now we have another day of filming, just to kind of not shift our messaging, but make very, very clear what our mission is and how inclusive we are and the things and the steps that we're taking to make it known, which I think is really, really important in this moment. We don't want to cancel the gala. There have been people that have canceled their virtual events because they don't feel like this is the time to be sharing that. I disagree. I think we should be sharing it, because I think art brings joy and art brings connection. And I think that there is a way to thread that message through with our gala. And that is what we will be doing on Wednesday.
So yeah, it's pretty crazy, right? You're right. The events of the last week and a half have been insanely unreal to see unfold in TVs and to see what has been happening to Black and brown people all over this nation, and how they're reacting, right? And so I want to remind the LGBT community, those that are out there on social media posting that, you know, there's no need for this, we shouldn't be burning down buildings, and et cetera, et cetera. Rioting is the language of the unheard.
And there's a difference between rioting and peaceful protesting, but I understand both, the need for both. I'm not discounting one, but when you're going into small businesses and destroying them, that's not appropriate.
And I disagree. And let me just say this. So we have to think about that. Today is June 1st. We're moving into Pride Month. We're commemorating the 51st anniversary of the Stonewall Riots. It was a riot. Bricks were thrown. Properties were damaged. Things happened. But it is only when police and people who are there to protect and serve don't meet that, and your voice, a people's voice, is crying for help, and you're not being heard, You have to make yourself be heard. And this is what we're seeing in the nation. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are happening that are could be unnecessary, but the protests, whether it's peaceful or not, it's happening and it's important and it needs to happen. And we need to understand that our rights as LGBTQ people came out of and were born out of protest.
100%.
And that said, if you're on your social media condemning the protest or anything that's happening now, you need to check yourself. You know, there's a lot of things that have happened in this nation. This nation itself was built on a protest, right? When you think about the birth of this nation and you think about the fact that we didn't want taxation without representation. So what do? We burnt the entire Boston Harbor down. We threw all that goddamn tea in the Boston Harbor. And that literally launched, that was the precipice for the creation of this nation, for that war that eventually led to the creation of the 13 colonies. And then when you jumpstart, you know, you go back into the 80s, for example, think about what happened when Rodney King was beat down by all those police officers in Los Angeles, right? And all the riots that ensued afterwards. Mm-hmm. LA is a much better city today as a result of what happened after those riots. When people do this, change happens, and they know this.
You know what? It was really powerful. So today, we have an all-staff meeting every Monday. And obviously, this Monday was all about what's going on in the world. And we have not enough, but I would say we have a certain amount of POC people that work at our company. We're not a large company right now. We only have about, because of everything going on, we only have about 30 employees. But I care about all of them very deeply. And I was on this call and some of them shared some of their emotions and their feelings. And it was gut-wrenching to me. It was gut-wrenching to hear one of my closest coworkers talking about her family and not being able to be there for them, and just talking about how this is affecting her. And I wanted to say something, but I didn't want to take away from this moment for them. I didn't want to take away from what this means. But the reality is, the feeling that I got in that morning meeting was that feeling when I woke up the day after Pulse.
Despair.
It was gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to just hold everybody that was hurting, because there was so much pain that was being shared, whether it was a mother talking to her 17-year-old son, whether it was, you know, a 30-year-old talking about not being able to be with her family and concerned that she may never see her family again. You know, like, I can't fathom what they feel and what they've historically felt and have to go through as a Black woman or man. But what I can feel is how I felt when Pulse happened. And that was just, it destroyed me. And I get it. I mean, yesterday when they were peacefully protesting in New Haven, I was trying to get to Tom's house.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get here. It took me about 2 hours because they blocked off 95. And I remember saying to you specifically, you know what? I'm not even mad about it. I'm not mad about it. I'm so supportive of this protest. I just don't know how I'm going to get to your house.
So we spent literally, I think it was like 45 minutes trying to get you through back roads and stuff and to get here. But yeah, it's been crazy. What are your thoughts on the whole situation, Miss Elsie?
So I have actually maybe had only two conversations about the subject in the last week, because with every conversation, the feeling of impotence is so great.
Mm. What do you mean by that?
We talk and talk, but there isn't much that we can do.
Yep.
Because there's no progress. Like, here we are still having these conversations. And so, is it wrong to vandalize? Is it wrong to, you know, behave in a violent way? Are we saying, oh, we're just as bad as you are? I just don't advocate violence perspective, sure. But how many peaceful conversations can we have about abuse with it without it getting anywhere before we just lose our ability to be rational beings.
Yep.
And it's just it's just such a frustrating.
It really is.
I think one of the conversations that happened this morning, and is speaking to that, right? This mother that works at my company was, I said it, was talking to her 17-year-old son, and he was having a hard time. The same, what you're saying, you know, well, when do we just stand up and fight back? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, and what she said to her son was actually what we say all the time on the show, is that love conquers hate. And they will be more hateful, and they can be they can hate you more and more and more, but you just got to keep loving them and loving them and loving them until it changes. And hearing a Black woman who clearly has been affected by this crisis say that really resonated with me, as much as like, I feel like you're right. Like, when is enough enough? When do we stand up and say, no, especially with this fucking administration? I mean, it's gotten so bad. He incites hate. I go back to Martin Luther King, and I just think about him, and I think that, like, that man, he loved everybody. He wanted everybody. He wanted everything to be inclusive, and he, in my opinion, it was, he wanted to do that through the root of love. And I think that that is so beautiful and so important. And yeah, there are times, just like the Boston Tea Party, where you have to say enough is enough and you have to stand up and fight back. But I just hope that around the nation, people can come from a place of love, find the love, and try to share the love. I mean, there was this amazing photo of a Black kid hugging a police officer. It went viral. And that to me was like this message of hope.
Yeah, I just saw a video in where there was a woman that was kneeling with her hands up, and a white police officer was walking, trying to walk through her. And while he passed her, he took her head and just shoved her down.
Yep.
And the Black police officer that was with him grabbed him and shoved him out and said, no, walk away, and literally pushed him. Because what that did was, it just showed exactly what's happening, right? It's like there's disregard for people of color in this nation, as if we're not worth enough. They're not worth enough. And that you can do whatever you want with impunity. And, you know, when you think about, even, for example, you know, when you think about George Floyd and how he died with a knee to the neck, not being able to breathe, calling out for his mother who's been dead already, is heartbreaking. And he, the officer at the heart of all of this, got charged with third degree murder.
So I did some research about that today because I feel like that's really fucked up. And it's only going to cause more problems.
Because if you think this is bad, wait until they announce that he's acquitted.
I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, you may, if he gets acquitted, it's just going to continue. It's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine if that actually happened.
Well, you have to take into consideration the fact that this will set a precedent for every other cop who commits murder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what, outside of the culture of, we don't tell on each other, you know. So if you do something inappropriate in the force, another cop is not going to tell you, you know. And how we view internal affairs and how they're viewed by cops who feel like they're traitors because they're investigating inappropriate behavior within, quote unquote, their own. Precedents are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And
this has been done before, though.
And outside of racism, which obviously is at play here, that's what the country is preventing, really, is to set a precedent where a cop kills someone of color and they go to jail. So now every cop that kills somebody of color should go to jail because now there's a precedent set. You know what I mean? And it's really unfortunate that that plays such an important part. This is my former bargaining union officer speaking when we talk about precedents, right? And it's really a complicated matter. And it's really sad that politics have such a an important role in how these cops are judged, right? Or not judged.
Really. Or for the lack of, but, you know.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Nick.
No, you're right. No.
So it is, you know, it's ultimately we're in a very, very, very fragile state right now as a nation. But when you see the rest of the world rise up with people of color in this country, countries like Germany, and where their citizens are, you know, having protests of their own to honor the death of George Floyd and all the other people that in the past week could have potentially died. I mean, you had a woman who called 911 and weaponized it, threatening a black man who was just asking her to leash her dog, literally call the police department and say that a black man was.
But she said that to him. Yeah. I'm going to call and say that you're black. And you know what that means.
It's incredible. It's incredible to see what has happened, how things have developed all in the course of a week. And you have a president that's literally sitting there and tweeting, when the riot starts, the bullets start.
Except when people show up to state buildings carrying assault weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know.
And for the first time in our nation, I think, history since the White House was rebuilt after the last time it burnt down, there were fires nearby the White House. The lights were shut down.
Yeah.
It was dark. Supposedly the president went into the bunker. You know, they were literally right in Lafayette Square, if I'm not mistaken. Is that the name of the park that's right next to the White House? Feet, literally, not even 40 feet away from the White House lawn. It's pretty real. It's in your face. And the fact that this man hasn't come out and had any words of encouragement for his fellow citizens, because we are all citizens, is really discouraging to see, but it's not surprising, right? And it's just, we're just really going to have to see how this ends up. And here's my wish and my hope. I hope that in the midst of all of this, out of the ashes, I hope rises true change. I hope that police departments across our nation will start seeing the implications and the reasons why it is important to have this conversation and to stop killing black and brown people for no fucking reason. That's pretty much all it is. You know, that it's excessive force takes a new meaning when you have a knee to your neck and you can't breathe.
Mm-hmm. But it was his demeanor while he was murdering this man.
His
he
face.
Wasn't stressed.
No.
He wasn't, you know, he didn't look threatened. He didn't look distressed. He didn't show any fear for his physical integrity. He literally essentially put the knee to that man's neck
and just lounged
and
there.
Said, I'm gonna kill this man because I know I can get away with it, and call blood. Yeah. It's how every time I look at that video, it's so infuriating and so heartbreaking to watch another human being have such little regard for somebody else's life.
Yeah. And the sad thing is that he got a third degree murder charge.
I think that I am hoping that changes.
I'm hoping too. And that's exactly why these people are protesting and doing what they're doing, is because they are outraged. I mean, a third degree murder charge is the equivalent of I killed someone by mistake.
So when I said earlier that I looked it up, now this is all hearsay because it's probably not true, but the autopsy report came back saying that he did not die from suffocation. And that's why he got the third degree murder charge. Now, he died, though, because of everything leading up to that moment. If that autopsy report is correct and he did not die from suffocation, he died from everything leading up to that moment, including the intense beating he went through, which means it's still a first degree murder charge to me.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. Today, the family released an independent autopsy report that was submitted through an independent party that confirms that indeed the cause of his death was asphyxia as a result of the knee that was pressed on his neck.
See, and that's even more fucked up. The fact that somebody is trying to cover for him.
welcome
again, precedent and looking after each other. And it's such a dangerous job. And our lives are on the line all the mm-hmm. time. So if we start telling on each other when we panic or when we feel our physical integrity is being threatened and we're supposed to react, and now you're going to essentially take action against me for protecting myself, it's not that fucking simple.
Yeah,
it's not that fucking simple. No, if you're able to de-escalate a situation where a mass fucking murderer is holding an assault weapon, actively fucking shooting, and you're able to de-escalate that fucking shit, but you're not able to de-escalate someone who is already in handcuffs on the floor,
beating the shit.
You're still telling me that you are at that point fearful of your life. You couldn't put him in the back of your cruiser and given him water. We saw that recently with that kid that mm-hmm. was just apprehended in fucking Philadelphia. And the I want to be a good human part of me is that I will know that letter from that police officer telling him he was a good kid and this wasn't him. And we know that you're in distress. Just come back. Could have been just psychology to have him turn himself in, but also fuck you. Yeah. Because those are not the letters that people of color receive.
That's right.
When they go through the same experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just frustrating. This is why I don't take part in politics, because I will get murdered.
It is gut-wrenching, and, you know, but to see a community and its allies rise up and fight for their lives is a beautiful thing mm-hmm. To see that in my lifetime, right? I've never seen or experienced in such a magnitude protests and rioting, right? When you think about the LA riots, when you think about when Dr. King was assassinated and the riots that took place afterwards, mm-hmm. It's pretty telling. And it's remarkable to see it all unfold, but to see the will and the power of a voice, mm-hmm. of a united voice all over the country and all over the world. It's just absolutely, my heart is with them. I hope that change, really meaningful change, comes out of this experience as a nation.
Yeah, and I think I also want to mention that, like, as a white man, I think it's really important for white allies to stand up right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a call for white allies to stand up. There was this story that was released about these mothers, these women that stood in the front line in front of the police with everybody else was behind them, but they were standing there saying, no, to get to them, you have to get through me. And the reality is we're starting to honor the fact that we are acknowledging that we have white fucking privilege, and we're using it to protect the people that matter, which is our brothers and our sisters and our cousins and our family and our friends and our community. And if we stand up together as white allies, we can also make a difference. We have to stand together. We say it on the show all the time. We have to stand together as one community. And seeing people finally doing that is so fucking important and so powerful. And I'm so proud of the people that are doing that and going out there and standing up and saying, no, this is not happening. They deserve every fucking right I have. They deserve every privilege I have. And you cannot get to them without getting through me.
And, you know, nothing was ever given, at least in this country, we know nothing's ever given away for free. I mean, they want your blood and your firstborn for anything that's given to you. So if you want it, you're going to have to fight for it. And that's exactly what they're doing. And we commend you for it. So listen, it's been a very emotional first half. We're going to take a break, regroup. And when we come back, we're going to have, we'll jump into some of the stories that we have lined up for you today and continue on with the show. So here's some music and we will be right back.
Greeted by a new sunrise, tomorrow's hopes are in my eyes. Paints horizons in the sky that's meant for me, meant for me. Ready now to face the day, done with fears of yesterday. Waiting long. long enough to say I'm on the way. I'm on the way. I believe.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was Believe by Going Deeper, and of course, Davis Mallory, a previous guest of our show. And we're back. We've got some stories that we want to jump into and talk about. So I'm going to, you know what I would love to do? So before we go into these stories, I would like to let you guys know that it, again, a reminder, we are at the beginning of Pride Month, and as such, we're not doing physical prides in the month of June, New York City and all of these other cities. Please reach out to your local community organizers and pride centers, because there's going to be a lot of really good online content that's going to be available, a lot of virtual prides that are going to be happening. And tune in. Support your community, because it's going to be amazing. There's a lot of really good artists that are going to be doing performances on some of these national and international world prides. And check them out. It's going to be incredible. Because we need to do that. We need to find, as we said in our opener, we have to find a way to really make it happen, right? It's just because we can't get together doesn't mean that we still can't be proud and celebrate who we are as a community. So check them out. Reach out to your local organizers. So, Nicholas, my darling, you have a story in here about Love, Victor.
Do you want me to talk about that?
Do you want to do that first, or you want to burn Betsy?
I just want to end on a high note today I want to end on that story. So let's talk about Betsy.
All right, let's burn the bitch.
All right. So here we are again amidst everything that's going on in 2020, and Betsy DeVos is telling Connecticut to ban transgender athletes or face the loss of federal funding.
Fuck her.
So I saw this article and I was like, this can't be for real. Like, is this fucking for real right now? Like, there's so much terrible shit going on in the world and you're just making it worse. Like, what the fuck are you doing? So she is saying that allowing transgender girls to compete in school sports is a violation of federal law. And if it doesn't stop in 20 days, Connecticut will risk losing federal funding. And now we already know that the education system has lost so much funding. I mean, the arts and sports are the first thing to go, to the point at which now they have to have fundraisers for them. Mm-hmm. Parents have to pay more for their kids to... For example, my sister has nothing, like nothing. And she has to pay almost $500 for my nephew to play football every year. I played football for 8 years and I did theater. Like, mm-hmm. if my parents had a... They wouldn't have been able to afford five kids... $500 for football, probably $500 for drama, whatever it is. That's like a lot of money on top of school supplies, on top mm-hmm. of food, on top of everything. So the fact that she is threatening to take away more federal funding when schools are already in dire need is just sickening to me. Like, she's just a terrible fucking human being.
And, you know, you have to also think about the fact that our transgender folks, our brothers and sisters in the trans community are being attacked since day one of this administration. One of the first things that he did was try to sign an executive order banning transgender men and women from serving in the military, mm-hmm. right? And it's just been a cascading effect of different things. And then you saw states trying to do it. Massachusetts tried to pass a resolution that would ban transgender men and women from using bathrooms to which they believed they were entitled to use, right? If you identified as a woman, you would go to the women's bathroom. If you identified as a man, that you would go to the men's room. And they try to make it this whole issue about predators and sexual predatory conduct in bathrooms. And I was like, no. Because in the end, whether you're transgender, straight, gay, bi, green, blue, orange, you go to the bathroom for one thing: to use the bathroom, to relieve yourself. That's it. And so that argument really just fell flat on its face. So when you start seeing things like this, we are already – this is a pattern for this administration, and it is horrible. And someone just needs to just – oh, God, I hope that come November we have a really good outcome in this election. Otherwise, we're going to be fucking screwed.
Well, it's also really important to note, too, that she's wrong.
Of course she is.
Because –
uncategorically wrong.
Well, I mean, we know that she's always wrong, but like, she's wrong in the sense legally she is wrong, because these transgender individual students, even though they are targeting specifically transgender women, they're protected under Title IX, which Title IX of the 1972 Federal Civil Rights Law that prohibits discrimination based on sex in schools. Based on sex, basically. Now, that being said, both sides of the party are using what sex is defined as a pivoting point in the argument, right? Yeah. But what's amazing, and what I'm happy about, is that Connecticut isn't just backing down and saying, well, we need the federal funding, which we do need the federal funding for our education system. They're pushing back. They're saying, we're not going to kowtow to this. Like, we are going to stand by our laurels. We're not, this is ridiculous. And legally, you're wrong. These kids are protected, and every kid in Connecticut can participate in anything they want to participate in.
Which is
no matter their race, their gender, their sex, it doesn't matter. And if somebody identifies as a woman or a man, it doesn't matter. They who they identify as, they will be represented in the school as that identity.
Tommy and I were having that conversation briefly before the show. You're going to use the definition of sex. It's of no consequence. If they identify as female or male, you're discriminating against them based on sex.
Yeah, 100%.
It's different.
But we currently have three cases right now that are at the Supreme Court. That's one of the underlying issues that the Supreme Court needs to decide on, as to whether or not the current,
definition
of sex includes gender identity, right? And when you think about, for example, one of the other plaintiffs that got fired as soon as she announced that she was transgender, unfortunately, she passed. She passed away before she even ever got to hear a ruling on her case. And And I feel that when we finally do get one, if it's a really amazing ruling in her favor, you know, she will not have died in vain. But again, it is very clear that this administration and most people in a lot of offices that are Republican are dead set on attacking our transgender brothers and sisters. And it's just horrible. And this is a very good example. Betsy DeVos is just, you know, out there doing the president's bidding and trying to cause more turmoil, right? I think that's this administration's ammo. Like, let's just fuck up as much as we can and create chaos while we can, and then just see how it lands. And this is not going to end well for them.
So to go on further, to dive deeper in, I'm going to read a quote, a couple quotes. So here we go. So the threat to withhold federal funding for violating Title IX is nothing more than a pathetic attempt to bully the CIAC and state into accepting the administration's narrow interpretation, which pushes trans and non-binary athletes into silence, said Connecticut State Rep Jeff Curry. I applaud CIAC and their members for taking a position that represents and values all of our student athletes and their educational opportunities, and for supporting policy that ensures athletes like Terry and Adriana can have dignified high school athletic careers.
And it's beautiful that he made that statement. And just so that you know, Jeff Curry is a state representative here in Connecticut. He is also a member of the LGBT community here in Connecticut, and a proud, openly gay man, and does amazing work for our community. So thank you for, you know, just being at the forefront of what we're doing in this state to ensure that we keep our rights and that we continue to make an effort to better every day rights for all members of our community. He's just overall a great guy.
100%.
So, Elsie, talking about transgender, you had we were having a discussion about a story that you had read. You want to talk about it a little bit. It does talk about
Can I say one more thing before we jump over to Elsie?
Of course.
I wanna hit home the point that if we were to actually move forward, I don't think Connecticut would ever kowtow and actually make that happen where we said, okay, we're going to do this for federal funding. I don't think they'll do it. And I think the residents of Connecticut would stand up and help fund what needed to be funded. But if we were to do that and move in that direction, in this article, it brought up a really important point that in doing that, we're silencing these people. But not only are we silencing them, we're not acknowledging them, and we're taking away their rights to their identity.
That's right.
And in doing that, we are literally discriminating against the entire transgender community for money, which continually happens in this country. Everything is based on money, and we cannot allow that to happen. We cannot discriminate against a group of people based on funding. So if they actually take our funding away, I would hope that people around the country and people around the world would help support Connecticut or any state that has to go through this so that we don't have to discriminate against a community because we don't have enough funding to help to make sure that our students are getting every aspect of the education they need, of the extracurriculars they need, of everything that they need to be a successful human in this world.
Yeah, the all-around experience of being in school and being able to do the things that you want to do, right? It's just, I really do dislike that woman so much.
You're not alone.
I really do. So, Elsie,
it's just such an abusive stance to take.
It is.
Because now you're putting parents and the rest of the community in the position to have to defend their kids who are not transgender on the basis of, oh, so now we're going to have to sacrifice our kids being able to participate in sports because of that one group. You know what I mean?
100%.
It's all dirty tactics that play on human psychology, because that is the reaction that parents, that will get from parents. Like, well, wait a minute. There's how many transgender kids as opposed to however many cisgender kids. And now we're going to have to, you know, sacrifice our kids ability to participate in sports in school because of one tiny group. That's what that will do.
And you know what will happen,
and
right?
It's effective.
You're 100% right.
Yeah. Because what happens, you know, when you really look at it and say, well, this is affecting me personally, what has traditionally America done in those situations?
Yeah.
Oh, well, screw you. I'm sorry.
Number one.
We tried.
We're not going to go with the minority.
Yeah, we tried.
Right. Because it affects me personally.
Yeah. And then you end up in the situation that we find ourselves today.
I do have to say that there are certain stories that have surfaced recently. Not recently, in the past couple of years, where that type of rhetoric and that type of structure or standard happens, right? Where they're like, well, this doesn't affect my kid. Why do I have to deal with it? But then you see an outpouring of love and support from parents, at least in certain states, that are like, no, we are going to support this family. We are going to support this child. And I think that is really important. And I hope that we see more stories of that, because that brings hope, and that's what we need right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is we're seeing all these negative stories right now. Yeah.
Well, I think the hardest part about it is that, you know, when you think about blue states and people that live in blue states, you're bound to find a little bit more support for your cause because you live in a more liberal area. My worry is for all those young, beautiful souls that live in states like Alabama or in states like, you know, Kentucky or Tennessee or middle America, in where, you know, these are red states with very extreme conservative views. That are going to suffer greatly because of the choices that their parents are making and the choices that people like this, who are not qualified to hold positions in office, in federal government, that they're making. You know, those are the real people that are going to get hurt. And it hurts my heart because you know that as a result of that, suicide rates start rising.
Mm-hmm.
And kids start thinking about all the things, you know, that they don't want to be, because of how hard life is made for them.
And what pisses me off even more is the fact that this bitch is literally making that happen. She is the fucking Secretary of Education, and she is creating a fucking environment in which people will literally take their lives because of her rhetoric and because of what she's doing. She's literally doing that. And this administration is allowing that to happen. And that's ridiculous. The suicide rate in the LGBTQ plus community has already been higher than any other fucking community, especially within the youth. And if you continue to fucking feed that rhetoric to the public, you are just going to increase the hate and increase the deaths of young, beautiful individuals. And that is fucking ridiculous. Betsy DeVos, she should go to fucking jail. She should go to jail because she's committing murder by fucking saying what she's saying. I'm sorry, but it's true, and I'm done. But that's ridiculous. That's fucking ridiculous. She is literally allowing people to die. She's committing murder by fucking speaking.
A little louder for the people in the back.
Sorry. No. I brought my soapbox today.
No, it's okay. So, Elsie, my dear, shall we pick up?
Well, so Nick.
Sorry. I haven't had a soapbox moment in a while.
It's frustrating.
It is frustrating. I have turned into such a, it's like I'm ashamed sometimes of how cynical I've become, because at the end of the day, all we're doing is sitting comfortably in a safe space, talking about these things while people are out there looking at themselves in the mirror and feeling that they're not worth occupying the physical space that they do, because people go around making them feel unworthy over things they have no control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just frustrating.
You're right. It is frustrating. And, you know, we... at the theater, we released a statement today about everything that's going on. But what we also included in that statement was actionable steps and what we're doing to make the difference and make the change. And maybe that's something off air we can all talk about. Maybe we put together an action plan, not only for us, but for our listeners. Because mm-hmm. you're right. Sitting around a room and talking about an issue, it's not going to change the issue.
Yeah.
But it will enlighten people that listen to us. But most of the people that listen to us
and
believe
promote conversation.
And that's how we affect.
And promote conversation, yeah.
Promoting conversation about topics that are tough to have. You know, like, for example, you know, when you think about all of the changes that this woman is doing in the education sector, most of them have to do with most of the topics that your story cover, right? Using unreliable research and science to determine whether or not you're going to be able to hate on a group of people that all they want to do is just live and survive.
Right, which was a good segue for my story. Yes. And I'm going to talk about it just briefly, only because it is Scientific American and some of us, you know, sometimes do question the validity of their sources. And so that's my opinion, and my opinion does not represent the beliefs and ideas of the show. But it's a good conversation starter because, to Tommy's point, it's about how what we hear about, you know, specific groups and what makes them behave the way that they do, right? And we tend to use science to validate being dicks. Well, that's, you know, scientifically X chromosome and I and Y, and so something is wrong with you that you decided that you're going to be different than whatever your chromosomes decided your assigned physical sex organ will be, which is not the same as gender, as we all know, right? So there is an article on Scientific American, and the article is literally titled "Stop Using Phony Science to Justify Transphobia." And it touches on the biological dynamics, right? That shape an embryo to be whether to have either female or male genitalia as is defined currently, right? And I think it's an interesting conversation to have. So if you do go to scientificamerican.com and read the article, take it for what it is, do your research, you know, click away on every link and do your own research to support it. But I wanted to mention it because it looks at transgender people from a genetics, neurobiological, and endocrinology perspective, and it's the same argument that we use, or that people who speak this way use to justify why there are only two sexes, and that your physical reproductive organ should dictate what sex or gender you identify with. So it's the same exact rhetoric, really, that people who speak against the transgender community use to justify their and I'm not going to call it phobia or fear. That's just fucking, you're just a dick. Because, like, really? So it's a good read, mostly because it's a conversation starter, and it's interesting enough to make you want to go out and actually research a little bit more about the biology involved with transgender people and the external environments that actually affect our, as the article puts it, feminine and masculine behavior, and how our hormones produce based on the external factors that affect, you know, are you a caregiver? So maybe you're not as toxically masculine as someone who isn't, you know, regardless, or you're not a caregiver, but you're female. And so maybe you're a little rougher, and you know, so it talks about how those external dynamics affect our behavior and how we identify as a gender from the perspective of what has been prescribed by society that we should understand is male or female behavior.
Can you dive a little bit into into the article and give like a little bit more context behind what they're saying about genetics, neurobiology, endocrinology? Like, what does that mean? Like, what did they describe shapes or does not shape somebody who decides to become transgender in this article?
So when they talk about biology and when an embryo is formed, let's not forget I'm Mexican, so I have an accent. So they talk a little bit about the chromosomes, right? We know that two X's will make you have female genitalia and XY will make you have male genitalia. And then they're talking about another gene called SRY. And again, we are lame people. So do your own research and just use this as a base for starting the conversation and for you to just become more familiar with these things. That also affect the formation of the embryo. And I can't say embryo, God. So it's not just, you know, you have an X chromosome or a Y chromosome defining your physical genitalia, right? Mm-hmm. Not gender, but sex. And so that merits a little bit of research in terms of how that specific gene affects the forming of the embryo, right? And where you end up. And then it goes into, everybody has the same sex, right? When the embryo forms, we all have the same sex, right? And then you have the chromosomes that will define that after 6 weeks or so, assigning you a physical sex organ, not a gender, but a physical sex organ. And then it goes into the environmental aspects, right? So genetically, it's not cut and dry. It's essentially mm-hmm. what the article is suggesting, right? That it's not as cut and dry. It's not cut and dry enough for us to be able to use science as a justification for being assholes towards the transgender yeah. community is essentially what I got from the article, right?
But most importantly, I mean, you have to also see that, you know, I think what I get from the article when I read it, it's important to understand that when you're teaching kids in fifth grade about chromosomes, it's to keep it in its simplistic form, okay, it would be ideal to say, okay, 2X is female, XY, male. But once you start getting to the more complex and the complexities of gender identity and things like that, this really doesn't fit the form as a means to educate people as to what makes you male or female.
Right. And
there's a lot of important factors.
Dynamics that affect it, yeah. right? And then there's the whole causation is not... Oh my God, I forgot the other part of that premise.
Wait, what?
Causation is not... okay, well, I'm having a dumb moment because I can't remember the rest of that premise. So when we talk about causation and correlation, right? Cause and effect. One thing is not directly linked into what gender you turn out to identify with more, mm-hmm. right? So when we look at brain and we say things like, well, the male brain is physically different to the female brain, right? When they look at transgender people's brains, they can't really decide where they fall physically. So now science is saying to us, that doesn't make any sense. That whether you have a quote unquote male brain or female brain has nothing to do with who you identify as a person, right? In terms mm-hmm. of gender, because looking at their brains, transgender people's brains, they can find aspects that define the male female brain that identify with both or either. Whether it's the gender that they identify with, regardless of their biological gender, right? Or sex, I should say, sexual organ, or vice versa, right? Where you're a transgender woman, and when they look at your brain scans, they can see that there are parts of your brain that are identified with female physiology when it comes to your brain, actually, they correlate. So clearly, there's a scientific or genetic biological predisposition there as to how you end up identifying mm-hmm. whether in terms of gender.
Yeah.
I'm having like a cursive moment.
Well, it's interesting. Okay. It's interesting because we've talked and I talk about it all the time because I find it so fascinating, that TED talk that I always talk about.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Jesus, stop reading my mind.
And it talks a lot about the
nature and nurture.
The science, yeah, yeah. Right. But it also talks about the environment in which the the mother is currently or in during the pregnancy, and how if they are stressed, a mother will put certain epigenetic markers on the DNA, which could or could not make a child homosexual or maybe transgender. And in my brain here, I'm thinking like, well, what if the sex is already decided? What if the sex is already decided? There in their first trimester or they're moving into their second trimester, sex has already been formed, decided, but then they start having a stressful pregnancy or something goes on. Is the parent not still going to place those epigenetic markers on the DNA of the child? And then maybe that is why a transgender individual this is completely hypothetical.
I mean, right. It could be, but we have a lot of examples, even in nature, in where, for example, that you have frogs that, depending on their environment, would change sexes to be able to reproduce and ensure the viability and the survival of their species. Not only frogs, but other animals do this too. So it is completely possible that in our humanity that we could be seeing evolution at its best, right? Nature, nurture, doing what it does best. It's like, you know what? There's a need for this. This needs to happen. And so there's amazing conversations regarding, you know, what defines transgender and how the makeup, right?
Right.
From a physiological, from a sociological, from an emotional.
Right. The article also touches briefly on how external influences have an effect on the hormones that we create. You know what I mean? You go to a shooting range, you come out of there, and all you want is beef and a beer. You
know what I
mean?
Yeah.
Because testosterone is just raging through you. Yeah. You know what I mean? You hold a baby. Beef. Right. You hold a baby and you feel so maternal and, you know, caregiving-ish. And so now you're producing more estrogen. And to your point with that TED Talk, you cannot use science to justify one side of the coin when it applies exactly the same way to the other side and then say, well, that's not what the science was talking about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's just, and that's why I wanted to bring up the article, because it's a great, you know, pick at your brain that will hopefully incite you to actually go out there and just read up a little bit more for the sake of understanding people in our community mm-hmm. who do not identify with the physical sex organ to which they were assigned, you know.
And I think it's important to note too that no matter what article you read or no matter what TED Talk you listen to, the way we move through life and the way we, I'm not even going to say the right word, the way we end up identifying ourselves sexually, or I identify as a gay man, but that's not my life. That's not who I am.
No.
I mean, it's a huge part of my life, but the reality is
huge.
If I hear anyone say that it's a choice, come on. At this point, it's not a fucking choice.
I like physically want to smack people when I hear them say that. Like
I didn't choose to live a harder life.
Like, I'm not a violent person, but like when I hear someone, snap out of it. Like, do people, a share moment, right?
Yeah. So when
like,
people,
seriously,
when people refer to people in the LGBTQ plus community as their lifestyle.
No,
bitch, fucking being vegan is a fucking lifestyle. Like, can you please stop being so fucking ignorant? I'm like, what lifestyle? Does he do yoga? I don't. Say more. Like, what, is he a vegan? Because that shit is fucking queer. Like, I don't know. What the fuck are you even talking about?
Yeah,
what I say to my nephew,
you're, right.
Like, you're so queer.
You're right. It's just, and that's another, like, very popular, oh, your lifestyle. This is
what
not
the fuck do you mean?
I have a choice,
like,
in
a
this.
Buddhist? Like, and I do it all the time, and I make people feel super dumb. And they're like, do you have to do it every time? And I'm like, yeah.
Yes.
I kind of do. Because yeah. If not, it's going to continue to happen. So if reason and knowledge is not going to affect it, maybe shame fucking will.
Mm. Like, embrace every teachable moment you can.
Preach. Everyone. My friends, my male friends hate me because every time they make a comment that supports toxic masculinity and the oppression of women and gay people, they're like, and roll their eyes at me. And they're like, you're going to continue. I'm like, words mean things. And if you're mm-hmm. going to continue to speak that way, yes is being my answer. I'm going to continue to bring up the fact that you sound fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredible. To me, it's just like, listen, it's not my lifestyle. I didn't choose to be gay.
Right.
I can choose to eat a piece of steak or become a vegan, like you said.
I'm tired of chicken. I think I'll have dick.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
I cannot with people sometimes. So, but yeah. So it's a great article. So what we're going to do is we're going to post a link to this article on tonight's post. So you guys can click on it. Like Elsie said, read it. You know, do your research. Click on all the links that you want to and find and really dive deep, because it just makes you think. It makes you just outside from what we already know as being part of members of the community. It just makes you think on how deep things and conversations and science tends to go, but it also points out how inappropriately certain factions of people use this knowledge to falsely spin narrative and drive public opinion.
And support the ignorance that people essentially stand on to take any action or negative thought against any specific group because of what we understand them to be. Mm-hmm. So if nothing else, allow the article to open you up to reading about the struggles of the community so that maybe you can develop a sense of empathy towards our brothers and sisters. And you understand that is not a choice. And you understand just how hard it must be to go through the hormones, through the physical, you know, the surgeries and having to put your body through that, and ask yourself how serious of an issue is for someone to feel like they were born into the wrong body for them to want to put themselves through that and through such a hard life, because the rest of us want to be assholes. And then ask yourself, really, is this really somebody choosing to feel the way that they do?
Yeah.
When being happy and feeling comfortable means so much pain, such a financial burden, so much rejection from society, you know, let it be at least that, an opportunity for you to gain some empathy for our fellow human beings.
And I think that drives the point home, right? Like, I'm in my 40s. And I have lived a very amazing life, but there have been areas and parts of my life that have been very hard. And being gay and being young and growing up in a very Catholic family was one of those aspects and areas of my life and where I would question things. And so my thing is this, it's like, if I had to do it all over again, I would do it without even thinking about it because of what I know now. If I would ask myself that question when I was 16, 17 years old and said, if I had a chance to be born again and not be gay, which one would I choose? I would have chosen not be gay, because it's not something that I would wish on anybody, because of how hard it is that our life becomes when you acknowledge who you are and you realize that there's an entire group of people that want nothing more than to just destroy you. Just for simply being who you are.
Do you feel existing that way now, though?
No. Now I don't. So, you know, in my 40s, in all of this knowledge that I've gained through all of my pain and through all of this horrible, all these horrible experiences in my youth, knowing what I know now, I would do it all over again, 100%. But had I asked myself that question when I was 17, 18 years old, it would have always been, I don't want to be gay.
Yeah, no, I hear you. When I was younger, I would say that to myself. Now, I wouldn't change a goddamn thing. I love being gay.
I do.
I love it so much.
Do you love being gay? Or do you love the fact that you are able to love yourself as a person? You know what I mean? Because as you said earlier, being gay is not who you are. Who you sleep with is not what makes you who you are. You know what I mean?
I guess you make a good point. But I think it's it's not.
Elsie, you stumped him.
I do. I love being gay, and I love how when I finally embraced who I was, I felt like the world sort of embraced me more. But also, I've never been one to back down from a conversation. But I'm so proud of our community and the history of our community and what our community has gone through, and I love all the people that I am surrounded with within the community. There's so much, there's negativity, but there's so much love and positivity, and I would never change the people that are in my life, the family that I've created for myself, And a lot of that does stem from shared experience.
Yeah.
And I would never want to let that go because it's beautiful and it's important to me. And do I love a good dicking? Yeah, I do.
Every single day.
So does everybody else in this room.
I'm not going to. And I would hate to have to like switch from dick to something else. But I think for me, it's more about the love that I've been able to surround myself with. Because of my my personal experiences.
Yeah, it's really, it's incredible, right? I was really psychoanalyzing myself, how I thought when I was younger and how I think now. And it's been a beautiful experience to search, right? What do we have to do in quarantine? You start really thinking about what you've gone through and grow and learn. And you're like, and you really start going into those little memories that you have. And I'm like, why did I ever say that to myself? Like, I remember that, you know, I had this conversation with my grandmother and I would tell her, I'm like, Grandma, I knelt today and I prayed to not be gay anymore. And then my grandmother would look at me and she would go, why? And she would hug me. She was a Catholic woman, but she also had a gay... She had a gay son and a lesbian daughter.
She wasn't an asshole, clearly.
And she was. Are you kidding me? My grandmother, absolutely not. That woman was heaven on earth. Like, if there was an angel on earth, that was her. And although she had her faith, she was absolutely empathetic, absolutely understanding, and absolutely supportive of her children and her grandson. And by the way, I'm not the only grandson that's gay. I have another one that's gay, too. So I have a younger cousin that is gay. It's just, there's a lot of gay members in our family. And so I think that helped me when I was younger.
Genetics.
To help me understand and come to terms with who I was. But there was a lot of craziness in my brain at that time because of the things that I was learning in church. Things that were forced on me because I didn't want to go to church.
Church is the worst.
It is. Like, I was forced.
For gay people and women.
Oh, it's tough. It's tough.
And so the only struggle I had growing up is the fact that I wasn't born here and I didn't speak English and still I have an accent. Those were my struggles.
But I love your accent though.
So do I. You know,
like I always say, she has like a phone operator sex voice.
Yeah, you know, 1-800.
I'm like, let's call the Elsie Hot sex line.
Tommy and I have worked in the same space for like a little bit over 12 years now. Uh-huh. Around. Tommy has literally called my desk and inappropriately said to me, I know you weren't at your desk. I just wanted to hear your voice. Click in my voicemail. And I remember I hung on to that message for like ever. And it was like a little ego booster when I needed. So I would just listen to Tommy and I'm like, yeah.
I'm telling you, it's been a fortunate 12 years to share in many experiences with you professionally and personally. And so, you know, and now having you here sit with us and having conversations, you know, surrounding our community and how you support is truly uplifting and amazing. And I love you as a person. I love you as a human being because you are fantastic. And thank you.
Oh my God, say more. Thank you, Tommy. I appreciate and reciprocate. And I love church too.
Oh, I love you too.
All right. So let's move on. We do have to wrap up the show, right? It's like we're having such good conversation. Yeah. It's amazing. So there's a lot of things that we're going to do that I'm excited to do again today because we are not like doing it like in a virtual thingamajiggy. So Elsie, thank you for that wonderful story. Again, we're going to post that for you guys on our post tonight so you guys can click and read. So why don't we do what we do best?
Yeah. Trisha? Let's close out.
Well, we're going to do Mama Kim's Minute and all that stuff, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Or wait, no. We can't do that.
We have that uplifting story that you're closing with.
Okay, we got one more.
It's going to be really quick. We don't even need to talk about it, really. So I will post the video on our post tonight. But Love, Victor, their trailer finally came out. It's coming to Hulu on June 19th. And the trailer is just so sweet and so special. It's, you know, taking place around Victor, who moves to this new town, which was Simon's town. He's going to the same school as Simon, and he's gay. He's dealing with the fact that he's in a new school, new friends, and the fact that he's gay. And he starts to write Simon for advice. And it's just, it's really uplifting to see the trailer. I'm really excited about what?
No, I'm laughing because that moment at the cappuccino machine while he's frothing the milk is everything.
Uh-huh. But it's just, it's exciting to see a gay centralized character, a gay lead character in, you know, a Hulu TV show that's streamed to everybody. And I'm just really excited because, you know, this kid, Victor, is looking to somebody who already went through it for advice. And I feel like so many kids need that. And there are so many resources kids can reach out to if they need to talk to somebody. And in a way, it's kind of portraying the fact that, like, there are people that are paving the way now. There are people that have paved the way for us. There are people that have paved the way for them and us. And utilizing that knowledge and that experience is so vital to our community and so vital to us as individuals and our future. And I think that's a really special thing to note because I didn't realize I thought it was going to be kind of like a spinoff and they changed the name, like it was going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
But he's actually looking to somebody who went through it to help him through it.
That's amazing.
What I love about that is, you know, the whole conversation I'm always having about evolution, you know, so now you're reaching out to someone who has been through it that can potentially make your experience a little easier and provide you some guidance.
But it also goes to the point that we literally had two entire episodes that we talked about this, about positive representation for LGBTQ youth in TV and film. And this is what we're talking about, right? Seeing substantial LGBTQ characters being portrayed on film in a big platform like Hulu, in where you get to see and experience the emotions of being an LGBTQ youth in a school setting.
Yeah.
Which to me was just horrible. School for me was horrendous.
You could just see yourself on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. And I imagine myself being him, but
In a positive light.
Yeah.
In a positive light, which was my point. And you guys totally derailed me because I'm a sucker for flattery. But that was my point. Like, my biggest struggle was the fact that I didn't speak the language. Imagine you growing up, you know, you're going through your formative years, to Tommy's point, and hearing all the time and looking at TV all the time, people and society telling you consistently that there's something wrong with you. So now you have to deal with pimples and, you know, armpit hair and the fact that kids are fucking raging assholes.
Uh-huh.
And now you have to also deal with the fact that people are raging assholes. Yeah. I mean, like, continue.
Yeah.
No, I think that's it. I think we made our point with that story. We will post the video on our blog post, but check it out. I can't wait to watch it on June 19th. And on that note, I'm ready to move into Mama Kim's minute.
So
Mama Kim, thank you for sending us a slew of articles. I'm only going to read 5.
Before you get into Mama Kim's minute, I just wanted to mention, because she did mention it to me and the group. As we know, Mama Kim makes a lot of our stuff. She makes our flag. She makes our mask, keychains, and all these amazing, beautiful little trinkets that you see here. Here's the LGBTQ flag with the black and brown stripe, which is amazing and gorgeous.
Which my sister and kids totally have, because I had them all hang. She sent me a set with my masks. And so I hung them by my door. And my sister comes in and my sister's like, oh, so you only get to have one of those? And I'm like, they're actually for you. And she like grabs all of them and like rolls her eyes. I mean, I'm like, well, I'm taking them.
And then, of course, this one is the transgender flag. So there's all versions of the flags available on Pocket Pride Plus on the Etsy store. And for the entire month of June, she's going to be offering a 25% discount on her merchandise. So make sure that you go and support. She is
Doesn't a percentage of it go to...
Yes. Yep.
So there, she does make some money, but she's donating a significant portion of what she's making to the Trevor Project and other local organizations,
which
in
is
her
a
area.
Worthy cause. So absolutely. if only to support the cause, you should definitely order some stuff. It's super cute. I'm trying to talk her into selling the felt little animals.
The little animals.
That little freaking unicorn will be mine, Mama Kim. Also, she's super diligent and the customer service is superb.
Yeah. You need to make him a gay penguin.
Oh my God, yes. Gay penguin.
With
penguins.
A nice little like rainbow scarf, it would be amazing.
Oh my God, yes.
My idea. And oh, another thing. One more thing. Can I just one more thing?
Come on.
Usually it's me saying, "Come on, Nick." So I had the opportunity to be on Drinks with Jess yesterday, to talk about launch Pride officially on her network. So the Drinks with Jess podcast, Jess Brandis is just absolutely amazing. We did an episode and we were discussing the fact that bars are going to be opening soon. And I think, and I talked about Mama Kim on her show, and I said, because she mentioned we need to start making masks, branded masks, that have holes in them so that we can lift up and put a straw and suck our drinks when we're in the bar. And I'm like, well, I'm going to have a conversation with Mama Kim and see if she can make those. Those would be amazing. Because our bars are going to open July 24th, somewhere around there.
July 20th.
Or the 20th. And I think we need to be prepared for the fact that we're going to be shoving straws under and over or trying to
drink. Yeah, like that's important to remember people when we go out there and together get drunk, that we do that together but distance. And that it's not all we're in the clear. We still need to exercise precaution and you know, protect ourselves and others.
So maybe like a little mask that has like a little magnet clip that sort of kind of clips shut and then you just open it and stick the straw in and suck your drink and then close it back up.
And then we'll look super ladylike.
Yeah. I just think...
Sipping a Passion Thugs through a straw.
It's no longer going to be like, oh my God, I love your shoes. It's going to be like, oh my God, I love your mask.
Yeah, what'd you get at?
It's, oh my God, this is couture. But actually, no, it's Pocket Pride Plus. So that being said, here we go. We're jumping into Mama Kim's Minute, everybody. All right.
Brought to you by Mama Kim's stores.
Brought to you by Pocket Pride Plus. So number one, amazing man celebrates her transgender 6-year-old with a gender reveal party.
That's
two,
so adorable.
Iconic gay activist Larry Kramer passes away at 84.
So wonderful.
Three, Joe Z is now a dad to a newborn and has words for Mike Pence. Four, first transgender mayor elected in France. Exciting. Five, someone keeps destroying a beach's town's rainbow crosswalk, but the city keeps repainting it.
I love that.
Bravo for the city. Amazing. You know, it's just, fuck you. You might go and scribble it off. I'm going to go and repaint it every single time.
I love that.
So.
It's the whole kill them with kindness.
Yeah.
I'm not going to retaliate against you, but I'm going to keep fighting the fight.
That's how we do. So, okay. So we're going to move on to our Gay Talk turn for tonight's, excuse me, episode. So, Elsie, why don't you take it up? So. This Gay Talk term is brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com.
Yeah, you nailed it.
All right.
I'm 3 for 3 today. I hope we haven't had our segment. Elsie fucks it up today. So,
why would you say that?
I know, because I want to, I guess, sabotage myself. Oh, God.
She brought her G game.
I did. BD.
Go for it, my dear. What's our Gay Talk term today?
It is in the making, set of one who is going to be made. That grocery boy and my lover, but he's in the making. Mm-hmm. I like this one.
Mm-hmm. I think that I have a lot of those. Every time I go to the grocery store, it's like,
I have a lot of baristas.
Oh, of course you do. She's a coffee queen.
All right, everybody. So on this day in gay history, I thought I put it in the notes, but clearly I didn't. So I have my phone. When? June 1st, 1991. Where? Florida. First Gay Days event organized in Walt Disney World. About 3,000 gays and lesbians from Central Florida organized at Walt Disney World theme park in Orlando for the first time wearing red shirts to give themselves visibility. This event still continues. We actually have some swag too.
Yep.
They're recently released Mickey Mouse rainbow ears.
They're in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. They're somewhere. And I have them actually, it's in my room. I was on a Zoom call the other day. I had it on. But it's super exciting. This goes on for a while. I'm not going to read it all. But yeah, so that's a happy thing that happened in 1991. Yeah.
I went to Gate Disney. It was beautiful. It was an amazing experience.
That must be like super fun.
It is, because, you know, you're seeing a lot of, you know, gay people out there. You know,
and their employees get to express themselves. That's got to be... Mm-hmm. I want to go to Gate Disney.
Oh my God, it's absolutely amazing. It happens in the month of June, typically. And I went in 2000.
Guys, we're getting distracted. I got to pee. Let's roll.
Okay, fine. All right.
Trish is the worst.
I know.
I'm usually not the one that keeps us on track here. It's usually Tommy.
All right, well, listen.
This is true, so we should take heat.
I'm just loving, you know what? It's that we're all in the studio and we haven't had this in such a long time. I don't want to stop.
No, I know. I love you guys. It's been so amazing.
I know. So anyway.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Wrap it up.
That being said, if you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. Doing so would allow you to get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which is a service that allows you, our supporters, and our listeners to pledge a donation every month. Those donations are collected monthly, and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Elcira?
Next week, we will not record an episode. We will instead be watching the virtual gala for Longworth Theater in support of our very own host, Nick.
Thank you.
Is there information as to how to acquire tickets that you can provide?
Yes, so I was just going to say that. So if you would like to buy a very cheap $20 ticket, to this wonderful event featuring 7 Broadway stars onward and upward of other performers, you can visit stagedathome.com, click the link to hit for buy tickets, and it'll bring you to another page where you can engage with us, and that's where we'll engage with you. You can purchase a ticket, you can donate if you wish to donate. So visit stagedathome.com for tickets. And again, if you can't afford a $20 ticket, email us and I will take care of it for you. We would love to extend free tickets to... We are extending free tickets to our first responders and frontline workers because we want to make sure that we are sharing this joyful event with as many people, and especially those people that are keeping us safe and healthy at this crazy time. So feel free to email us. I'd be more than happy to get you a discount code so that you can see the event for free.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome. I'm excited.
I can't wait. So, yeah, we're not going to do another episode. So, Nick?
Yeah, so here we... What, Elsie?
I just want to say very quickly that I totally have a dress that I can't wear to anywhere because I never get invited to nice places, and I consider purchasing an expensive ticket to show up to this gala just so I can wear it. And my nephew's like, yeah, I'll go. Let's fucking support that theater. I have a suit that I can't wear anywhere either.
Get dressed up.
Maybe I'll just put it on anyway.
So maybe we can get together and via social distancing on my very loud couch, we can all get dressed up and watch it on TV.
Mm-hmm. I will not be able to, but you guys are more than welcome to. And there will be an interactive part in the beginning. If you do get dressed up, you can share a photo of yourselves, which will be shared
that's
with
fun.
Everybody that's watching.
Can I wear a bikini?
That's up to you, honey.
Only if it's sequined.
All right, everybody. Get your discount for the future method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula that gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or on a subscription per person.
Fantastic. Okay. So, Elcira?
Let's put a rubber in it.
Yes!
She brought her A game
she
today.
Did.
All right, go for it.
Our show is available on our website, GayTalk20, that's GayTalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Damn! We're almost there. All right, Nick announces. You can find us on social media. Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0. Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0. Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0 at gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, you can just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab. There you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also call us if you'd like to. Our phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. Or if you need those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gents, that is our first show here in studio. After this long craziness that has been quarantine, I want to thank you all for sticking with us through all the craziness and all the hot mess that it was technologically. But we're here. We're queer. We're proud. We love you. Thank you, guys. Have a good night, and we'll see you next week.
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.